I may have mentioned this before, but I want to actually implement it now as an ongoing exercise for you. Did I ever play the Where's Waldo game with you? Well, not many head shaking, so most people don't know. I know I instituted this in the Omega Institute, but how many of you remember the game Where's Waldo? The basic premise, how many have no idea who or where Waldo is? Okay. Where's Waldo was a... somebody designed a game designed to drive children insane. Because what it was that you'd get this picture. They have it in a bird magazine. If you're a birder, you got to find the acorn in a forest, a drawing of a forest, and they hide little things. Well, Waldo was a little character. Was he a little person?
Huh?
It's a little person. Why am I asking you? Waldo was a little person, and he would be, his little face would be, you know, like sticking out like this in the middle of a drawing of a massive city or something like that, and you had to find Waldo. Well, now I'll explain why I'm going to implement this for you in a moment. I've told you before that an unattended mind breeds defeat. That's what it does. When you are not present to yourself, whether you see it or not, you are breeding defeat. Even if everything goes smoothly, you have to understand the idea of victory and defeat relative to the opposites as being possibilities not limited to just the world that you're in. So you may glide by in this world with no problems, daydreaming. But you lose the opportunity, the time allotted to you, to be present to yourself. So that instead of the energies being wasted, as they always are, in these recurring dreams that take place in the mind that is unattended, instead of being present and not falling into a ditch. Does it ever amaze you how you can be wandering around and all of a sudden find yourself angry or depressed over something? Well, because you have Waldo's wandered off to work in the mind. This thing called I goes anywhere it's drawn, gets involved in whatever draws it to it, and then spends your life energy involved in fruitless pursuits. Doesn't occur to human beings because we're so sound asleep. Your mind is always working on something. It's never not working on something. Wouldn't you like to be involved in what it's working on? Wouldn't that be wise? Or even more appropriate, wouldn't you like to be the one who decides what its task is? Because if you're not determining what the task is, who is? Oh, wait a minute. By their fruits you know them. So if you wind up fearful, frustrated, sad, angry, guess who set the task that bore the fruit that you're drinking the juice of bitterly later? Something that's not for you, something that doesn't love you. Yes or no? Now, quick story to tell you something that you're going to learn one day. Two men, both of them own a small ranch. And the other, one of them, his farm, little farm, produces three times the amount of produce, and he makes three times the amount of money that the other fellow makes. Same size property, basically same character in the men. Finally, the one man comes over and says, "Look, hey, Bill, how come you're producing three times the produce I am?" He said, "Well, I guess it must be old Will." "Oh, Will? What's your draft horse got to do with it?" Well, I'll tell you what, Pard, said, I never knew it because I never really found out. But old Will, this is the draft horse in the story, okay? Old Will likes to work hard. You know your horse, Mary? Marv? Your horse, Marv? Marv and Mary, it's a psychotic horse. You know your horse? He just acts like he doesn't want to work hard. And you fall for it. No offense. Will, he likes to pull. He likes to work. You test us and find out for yourself. Now, what does that mean relative to where's Waldo? You don't know it yet. And I know that you don't know this yet because you spend all your time just in thinking, making idle conversation. Not that there's nothing wrong with social good conversation, but you can be working during social conversation too so that you don't hurt each other when somebody says something that you don't like. You're created to always be watching your own mind. And the reason you're created to always be watching your own mind is because only in watching your own mind do you actually participate in the life of your mind. But not just participate as in being pulled hither and yon by thoughts and feelings that appear as they do, but participating by being conscious of what your mind wants to do and giving it the tasks that place you in proper attentive relationship to it. You must begin, if you ever, this is up to you, you understand this, when I say you must, I'm talking to men and women who want to have an authentic spiritual life, not a la-la spiritual life, a real spiritual life in which, because of the relationship they have with the present moment, they cannot compromise themselves or others. They cannot be unkind. They cannot get anxious. They cannot be drawn into a regret or a past that's painful. Because they are present when those thoughts and feelings that habitually now draw them into those places when it appears, and their interior work is the recognition of what pulls them into that world and the disconnect that takes place naturally when you see something's about to compromise you. So the exercise, where's Waldo, is going to be when we're together. At any point, I might just say, right out of the clear blue, we could be having a Saturday lunch. We could be anywhere. I might just go, hey, where's Waldo? And all that means at that moment is say your first name to yourself. And you go, where's, and then you fill in your name. And when you say, where's so-and-so, we're not talking about standing at 31 Flavors waiting for a triple scoop. We're saying, where is my attention now? To what am I connected with? And as you begin to do your own Waldo exercise so that you're never not just quietly being present to yourself, you'll begin to see your mind unattended just loves to wander wherever it wants to go, and you pay the cost of the ticket there. So everybody having this clear, where's Waldo? Learn to do it yourself. Then, back to the short story, every moment of your life will become productive in a new way. But listen to the new definition of productive. What we call productive now is taking steps to remediate ourselves from the pain that we're in. So a productive life to a human being is someone who makes a lot of money so they can have lots of pleasures around them so they can be more and more distracted. Real profitability, as described in, as the original definition of real profitability, is to ascend to the higher. To ascend to the higher. So to be a truly profitable man or woman, you need to be truly present to yourself. Because when you're present to yourself, you can't be punished by yourself. And when you can't be punished by yourself, you won't spend a lot of stupid money on silly things trying to make yourself feel better. in a world that can't be made to feel better because there's no one there in it directing you properly. Learn to work wherever you are under any circumstances. Be inwardly attentive. You can practice ceaseless prayer. It doesn't matter what you attempt to do. The work is to use your own attention for purposes of your interior life. Then the exterior life will take its natural relationship, and you won't have the problems that you do now.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.org. That's GUYFINLEY.org. Receive helpful free gifts along with a host of life-changing information. That's guyfinley.org.